Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh.
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You could save an average of $470 on auto insurance. It's a lot of money for a quick phone call, don't you think? Average nationwide annual savings survey data July to December 2020.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Thanks to Jay Glazer for stopping by last hour on the show. Great stories about Patrick Mahomes, how he didn't have a concussion, make people absolutely clear. He got choked out. He had to regain consciousness. He's ready to go this weekend. Big stuff on Antonio Brown and the Bucs offense. And we'll have more NFL on the way this hour as well as we pick the AFC Championship game. Who's going to be playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl? But tonight's a big night in the NBA. The Nets defense is going to be a real problem. They lose again to the Cavaliers. And right now, clearly, after a down first few minutes, the Knicks have really righted their ship. They lead the Kings by five. The last Knicks four-game win streak was in 1994, Mike Harmon. This is could be a big night tonight.
Look at you. You're just so giddy over the potential of a four-game winning streak. I would say the over-under in this game was 212.5. Knicks, a 1.5-point favorite. Start getting into all the prop bets. That's where it gets even more fun.
Will the Knicks get to 50?
Bet. Winning margin. Knicks by 1 to 2 points plus 800.
Yeah, not quite the game that's going on right now between the Suns and the Nuggets, the marquee game of the second half of the schedule tonight. So many teams in action in the NBA. Suns lead the Nuggets at halftime, 68-54. Booker's got 19. Bridges has 17. Ayton has 12-7. The Suns have been better than even we anticipated they were going to be, because we thought, boy, the Suns are going to be pretty good, but they're better than I thought they'd be, and they have played really good basketball so far. The Nuggets have struggled, but they're also just starting to get healthy now. So I think this is where the Nuggets will start taking off a little bit. But man, the Suns, they have been so good so far. I mean, look, 8-5 for the Suns is like 8-5 for the Knicks. You know, all right, so 8-5 for the Suns is like the Lakers being 17-1. Yeah, that's kind of how you can make it out there and compare between the two teams.
I can't wait to go through all of your conversion tables. This is just fascinating. It's kind of
like how it is,
if we're going to exchange money between countries. I'd love to see what your market would set up. They did get Michael Porter Jr. back, played 9 minutes in the first half, 7 points, 3 of 5 shooting, plus 3 on the night. He hasn't played since December 29th. So the fact that they're sitting at 500 coming into tonight, and now you get one of the guys that was – I mean, what, top five player of the bubble, right, the expectations and greatness thrust upon him. So we'll see how quickly he's able to integrate fully. And one thing that has been noticeable in their first 14 games is that while Jokic has been fantastic, Jamal Murray has struggled. So they need him to find the stroke, and perhaps Porter coming back in to the mix will help that.
And before we get into the big anniversary in the NBA, I understand. Listen, our producer, Justin Frostberg, who's been producing from home the past few months, you know, it's been – I can't wait to see you guys again in person, all of us together. And I want to mention, because he's at, you know, he's going through a tough time right now with Kike Hernandez leaving the Dodgers for a two-year deal with the Boston Red Sox. You know, as much as he liked Kike Hernandez, did you get the Frostberg text after he signed and how upset he was?
He's dead to me. I believe. I think that was the exact quote. I may be paraphrasing. But yes.
Yeah, you missed
all
a couple
the tributes,
of words.
A couple. I'm not saying them on air. I mean,
you missed a couple of big words there, buddy. You missed a couple of them.
Yeah, I'm going to leave those alone. This is a family show. Everybody gathered around like it's a fireside chat back in the 30s and 40s, man. No. This is quality time together. But yeah, that's tough loss. That's valuable utility man.
Yeah, but the Dodgers say, well, now we only have 13 guys that can play every day. All right, so we got to stop this madness now. We got to stop. Look, Kike Hernandez, during the season wasn't his time, but how many times did you feel like in over the course of the past 6-7 years he would have these huge games in the playoffs, and you're mm-hmm. like, man, where is he during the season? You see, hey, he's hitting 240 during the season, but in the playoffs, he just rose to another level. Look, he had the game-tying home run in Game 7 of the NLCS last year. He had a lot of big hits, a lot of big home runs for the Dodgers the past few years as they got to the World Series. I mean, he's one of those clutch guys in the playoffs that you don't know you miss until you get to the playoffs and you go, man, this is where Kike would have had a big shot. This is where Kike would have come through. This is where he would have done something big, because that's clearly what he was able to rise to the occasion with in the playoffs.
Mm. Big moment kind of guy, and he'll be missed, but what, 2 years, $14, $15 million is the estimate? I think you go shopping elsewhere.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. But today was a huge anniversary in the NBA, and I'm sure you remember where you were when you heard this for the very first time.
Kobe Bryant, 28 for 46 from the field. This would be 18 for 20 from the line, and an 81-point game. 55 in the second half. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed the second greatest scoring performance in NBA history.
Billy Mack on Fox Sports West on the call. Today is the 15th anniversary of the late Kobe Bryant's legendary 81-game performance. Of course, the second greatest night behind Wilt's 100. And you've heard so many stories over the past few years. And today, it was great hearing people talking about Kobe's 81 anniversary. I think my favorite thing I saw today that I had never seen about it, because clearly in sports, when something is that big, you hear a lot of angles on it. You're trying to listen and find something new. But watching that video that the NBA put together of all the stars, what their reactions were when they heard that Kobe went for 81, like Dwayne Wade wouldn't believe it. No, come on, man. No, you're lying to me. No, dude, he's got 81. No, I wouldn't. That was kind of fun seeing how everybody remembered their reactions when they first heard that Kobe scored 81 against the Raptors.
Yeah, I would like to just say this. He could get this against the current Brooklyn Nets.
In the first half. Don't sell him short.
Potentially, yeah. Short. I mean, that could just be a first half total. But, yeah, just one of the most amazing performances. You go back, and obviously there's montage clips all over the place of just firing it up. I mean, remember us in the studio when he scored 60 in his final game.
Oh,
right?
That was,
I mean,
an
that kind of electricity.
Night. Yeah.
Because he started terribly, and then all of a sudden it's like one and two. We got guys doing jumping jacks down the hallway. They're so jacked up, wearing any piece of Laker memorabilia they could find on their person. Some of them wearing jerseys that they probably hadn't worn since eighth grade, because that's how well they fit mm-hmm. that night. But this one, it's just absurd. And I kept waiting. Hey, here comes the double team. Nope. No, it didn't. But
you know,
one
thing
for
is-
the ages and one we get to celebrate. Absolutely.
You know, Sam Mitchell, in reading the recaps, because I actually read today a recap from the Raptors side of it, you know, what they were thinking during the game and how the philosophy was it didn't matter what we did. He was still going to score. There were some plays where they tried to double him and he got through the double team and he hit a big shot. And there was they tried a bunch of different people on him and the players they were going to put on him. A couple of them got in foul trouble early and it was just there was nothing we could do, because there's a few times we did try to put two guys on him and it just didn't work. And you know, the thing about this game, to try to give you something maybe you don't know, is that this game, of course, comes on a Sunday night, right? The Sunday night following the AFC and NFC championship games, right? We saw the Steelers win and the Seahawks win to go to the Super Bowl. And so these were, of course, with highlights like that going on, then you have a generic Lakers-Raptors game, because look, the Raptors stunk and the Lakers were barely a 500 team. This was not, whoa, this was the Lakers and post Shaquille O'Neal, and they were trying to figure out their way, and it took a while for them, you know, until Jerry West said, hey, take Pau Gasol. But, you know, this wasn't a great game. This was one of those, hey, it's a Sunday night game. And Kobe goes for the 81. And I remember doing all night, because I was on the air for ESPN Radio then, and the game ended like right before my show was going to start, because the show was overnight on the East Coast and late night on the West Coast. And so Kobe's at 81, and you know, one of the topics I remember talking about was, isn't this the lead story? You know, on SportsCenter, isn't Kobe scoring 81 a bigger lead? I understand that the NFL is king, and clearly, look, I had spent, you know, all day thinking I'm just going to talk about the Steelers and the Seahawks here for a while, but Kobe just scored 81. You know, the whole world knows that the Steelers, you know, won and that they were going to the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks won and they're going to the Super Bowl. But here's a game on a Sunday night that maybe, you know, word of mouth you heard about and saw, but 81 points, man. I mean, this is something that, you know, think about in the annals of history. You know, we've forgotten about those AFC and NFC title games, but we're always going to remember Kobe's 81. So I remember going on the air and talking about Kobe's 81, going, this has got to be the lead story on SportsCenter. I don't understand why, you know, are you going to go with Kobe? You're going to go with the NFL games? And I'm pretty sure they led with the NFL games. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe they did this. And I, you know, really, it's got to be the NBA. It's got to be that. I mean, it's 81 points. And it was just one of the angles we talked about that night. And so, we're doing the show. And then in a commercial break, my producer gets me here and says, hey, Jason, Stu Scott's on the phone. He wants to come on with you next segment. And I'm like, okay. Stu Scott hosted SportsCenter tonight, and all I'm thinking is, oh my God, he's going to be so mad. He's going to be so mad that I'm criticizing how SportsCenter did their show tonight, and I'm going, am I going to get fired to just criticize ESPN? I know what happens when you criticize ESPN, when you work at ESPN. Just ask anybody else who used to be there, criticize the network and is now gone, trying to do different things and start new.
Yeah, you had a good run.
You know, conglomerate, multi-platform conglomerates, all those things, and all this is going through my head, and I say to my producer, I go, is he okay? He goes, he just said he wanted to come on, and we'll go to him in the beginning. I go, how is he? Is he mad? Is he not? He goes, I know he just said he wanted to call and come on and do it. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, hopefully Stu remembered me because I worked with him before I was a radio personality. Like, you know, I came up, I was a production assistant at ESPN, and I worked with Stu and Susie Kalber every day on ESPN2 on the show called Sports Night. And it was a different kind of Sports Center show. We spotlighted different kinds of sports, and it was kind of fun. But I hadn't seen or talked to Stu in years, right? So I'm going, oh, I hope he remembers that, you know, during the 90s, you know, we worked together and everything else. So we start the segment, and I come on, and I'm nervous as hell, right? I'm going, what is going to happen? What's going to happen? He comes on. I say, hey, Stu Scott, you know, ESPN hosted it. Stu Welke goes, dude, man, I'm driving home. I'm listening to this, and I'm telling you, you know how hard it was for us to decide tonight what to run, what to lead with. I said, no. And he goes, oh, my God, you should have been in the room with us, the conversation, and we're pulling for, we got to lead with Kobe. And then it was, no, we got to lead with the NFL. It was amazing. It was so full. This is what I felt like. And I remember him saying, like, this is what I felt like great moments in sports TV are supposed to be like, because everybody is so passionate about to lead with the NBA, to lead with the NFL, and Stu was like, we should lead with Kobe, and you know, but there's other people that made points about the NFL and all these things, and we had this great conversation, and it took me about 20 seconds to realize, okay, he's not mad about this. Everything's cool. He's not mad. He was calling in because he's hyped up on the story, which was awesome. So we finished the conversation. It was great. And I hang up, you know, he hangs up, and I finish the segment, and I go to commercial, and I talk to my producer, and I go, hey, I go, that was really good. He goes, yeah. So you got a second? And I said, yeah. He goes, so I talked to Stu off the air real fast before he hung up. And I said, yeah. And now I'm thinking, okay, he's
okay,
going to say,
here it is.
I came on to talk to you, but tomorrow you're going to be in a lot of trouble, right? That's what I'm expecting. So, because, you know, I hadn't been doing all night for all that long. You know, I'd been, okay, you know, what's going to happen? And he said, and I said, all right, so what did he have to say? My producer, Vince, he says to me, oh, Stu said he was so pumped up and was still pumped up in the car driving home listening to you. He wanted to call in and talk. And I said, well, that was great. I said, it was awesome. I said, you know, I used to work with him. He goes, yeah, that was the last thing he said to me. And I said, why? And he said, because I said to him, hey, Stu, this is my producer said, hey, Stu, thanks for calling in. And Stu said, hey man, Jason Smith, deuce alum, we got to take care of our own. And that was why he did. And so he remembered me and he called it, and it was, aww, it was awesome. And I always will think about that. Look, Stu Scott had a wonderful career, and the, you know, the tragedy of him passing away with cancer. Everybody's got a Stu Scott story, and it just so happens that my Stu Scott story has to do with Kobe Bryant's 81-point performance in a night that, for many reasons, no one's going to ever forget. That's just how I look at and remember Kobe Bryant's 81 points.
Only met him once briefly, but always the guy that, you know, you see the highlights and you just smile because you know there's some great verbiage coming and enthusiasm for what he was bringing, no question. So glad you got that moment and that he didn't get you fired.
No, that was
55-41 outscoring the Raptors in that game in the second half, by the way.
You know, also, Frostberg sent this to me. People are putting on Twitter what he was tweeting, re-watching the game from a few years ago. And one of the funny things, he tweeted out, like, he's, you know, the game was being replayed, I think, on Classic Sports or somewhere else. And Kobe's watching it, and he's chiming in on it, and Shaq is chiming in on it. And Kobe writes at one point, we were down 14 at this point, now I'm heating up. At this point, I wouldn't pass a kidney stone.
That's a good line. That's merch right there.
Oh,
print that
goodness.
T-shirt.
I wouldn't pass a kidney stone. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith here with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. I mean, look, this is just, it was that kind of night. 15 years ago tonight, Kobe Bryant went for the night that none of us will ever forget. And this is why, if you have 60 points after three quarters, you should stay in the game and not get pulled out of the fourth quarter just because you have a 15-point lead. If you got 60, you know, Steve Kerr, leave Steph in. Leave Klay Thompson in. Mike Woodson, you should have left Carmelo Anthony in. Leave these guys in so they can have potentially a night like this where, oh, they scored 85 or they scored 87. But coaches want to take their guys out in the fourth quarter, man. Let them run. Let them do it. That's how it works. It's the best way to do it. Let them go. Don't let them sit here and go, oh, if coach had just played me in the fourth quarter, man, I could have had 81. No, not going to work
out. You know, Carmelo's still pissed, but that's okay.
Of course Carmelo was pissed. You know, he was probably all good at that time going, but dude, come on, man. I could have maybe gotten a 75.
Yeah.
I could have maybe had 80. I mean, really, I could have done that. See, that's why you got to stay in the game. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon coming up. We have more from the NFL. We're going to preview and pick the AFC Championship game. But coming up next, some stunning things about Hank Aaron I guarantee you didn't know. Keep it right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance. Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
We are live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers for a quote. Right now at halftime, the biggest game of the night, so big they would insult it by putting on a national television, so it's not. The Knicks lead the Kings 54-49 as the Knicks go for their first four-game win streak since 1973 when Phil Jackson played on the team and they won the title.
Look at that, throwing bony bows in the paint.
So we got more NBA on the way. Look, we're going to pick the AFC Championship game coming up in a few minutes, tell you who's going to be playing the Bucks in the Super Bowl. But today we lost Hank Aaron. And, you know, waking up to that news today, everybody just kind of took a step back and said, oh, wow. Because when we say legend, we say words like that. Sometimes it's hyperbole. But there was... There's very few people who are bigger legends than Hank Aaron, who was the all-time home run king for a long time before being passed by Barry Bonds, one of the most respected players in the history of Major League Baseball. And, you know, his 755 home runs stood for so long. You've heard the highlight of his 715th home run many times, I'm sure, today when he passed Babe Ruth for the all-time home run record. And, you know, last hour we talked about what he had to go through, because this is a guy that was getting death threats all the time. You know, he was a black baseball player in the South, and he was going to break one of the most iconic home run records held by a white man, and it was really difficult. We talk a lot about what Jackie Robinson went through, obviously coming to the majors and what he had to endure, and Hank Aaron endured a ton of it too. And this is in the 70s. You know, this is when you think, okay, well, no, it all happened. This, you know, you're talking about the mid 1970s where Aaron had to endure things that no athlete should have to endure. But let's take a look at a couple of things about him, Mike, because I have just a couple of stats here about Hank Aaron that I guarantee, you know, no one spotlighted today, that just really make you step back and think for a second. You ready for him?
Hit me.
Okay. Here we go. So everybody knows Hank Aaron, 755 home runs. His lifetime batting average was 305, which I guarantee people are, wait, he hit 300? Yeah, and if he didn't have a down last 3 or 4 years, his lifetime batting average would have been about 320. But this is a guy with all the home runs and all the RBIs, and his lifetime batting average was over 300. When guys that hit home runs like this normally hit about 270, 280, 285 if you're lucky. You know, maybe you can, for a couple of years, a guy like Miguel Cabrera or somebody can, hey, I can hit all these home runs and hit 330, but there's going to be more of those years where you're hitting 265 and 270 and 250 and 255. I mean, his lifetime batting average was 305. And that's something I bet, you know, people are listening and go, wow, he had a lifetime batting over 300. I think, why? How come he didn't win the Triple Crown? How come it wasn't one of those years? But he had a lifetime batting average of 305.
Pretty amazing, you know, when you consider towards the end, right? Obviously, by that point, we're talking about a guy into his 40s, right? So you have those last couple of years. Not to mention he'd also played several years, you know, not in Major League Baseball, given everything that was still going on at that point, right? So it's really just an amazing career, the consistency over 23 Major League seasons, 25 times an All-Star.
Hmm. It really was his career. You look at his numbers and go, wow, this is a 20 some odd year career. And his numbers look a lot like Albert Pujols, who we're going to get to coming up in a second. But, you know, you mentioned his career in all the All-Star games, right? And there's a promo running with Colin Cowherd talking about the All-Star games. He used to have two All-Star games for a while, and he made all those. And that's why he made more All-Star games than he played seasons in Major League Baseball. But to think about Hank Aaron and all these great years he had, he won the MVP once. He won one Most Valuable Player. In fact, he only finished in the top two voting for Most Valuable Player once when he won the MVP. His next highest finish was three. He won the MVP in 1957 when he went 44, 132, and 322. I mean, you would think Hank Aaron, because I didn't know, I'm thinking Hank Aaron must have three or four. No, he had one Most Valuable Player award, one.
I think you go back in time. I used to know this like off the top of my hand. There was an insert set in the 1975 top set that paid tribute to a number of MVP awards. So they'd have the two players and then a picture of their cards from that year if they existed. And for a while I had that memorized, and then I decided I needed that space in my brain for something else. But obviously competing with Willie Mays, among others, for honors. It's kind of like when we were going through Philip Rivers' career the other day. It's like, well, he never did this. Yeah, Brady and Manning were in the AFC. Kind of limits what you're able to do. Likewise here, right? Because that's one of the things that stands out, right? For all the home runs, and you've probably heard it all day today, is that he never hit 50 in a season. When we talk about MVPs, you got to have everything work right. Your team's winning plus some ridiculous stats. He was just the model of consistency. So for the award consideration, you know, that works against you.
Now, here's my favorite Hank Aaron stat, even more so than the home runs, just because you talk about something that's unbreakable, right? We always thought, well, who's going to break his home run record? Well, Barry Bonds came around to do it. Hank Aaron is the all-time leader in Major League Baseball for RBIs, right? Most of he's driven in 2,297 runs for his career, right? 2,297. And he's number one over Babe Ruth. And third place is Albert Pujols. Now, just for a second to tell you how big a record this is. So Hank Aaron's got 2,297. Albert Pujols has 2,100. So Pujols is 197 RBIs away from potentially breaking Hank Aaron's record. Now, maybe Pujols wants to hold on and try to do that, but Pujols is 40 years old. And he's not driving in 100 runs like he used to, and he's not playing in as many games. So he's going to need two and maybe even into a third another season to break the all-time RBI record, and it's not a lead pipe cinch that he's going to do it. If he has a down year, if he's hurt and he drives in 65 runs, that's not going to happen. All right, he's not going to break the record. If Pujols doesn't do it, He's going to hold this record. Hank Aaron's going to hold this record for at least another 25 years. You know why? Because there's nobody in baseball right now that's going to be on pace to do it. There's nobody
else.
Leave
Robinson Cano alone. He's at 1,300.
He is at the
coming for you.
Now, Miguel Cabrera's got 1,700.
The next is Cabrera at 1,729. Right, he's 37
really?
Years old.
Yeah, he's
no, but that's what I mean. He's 37 and started when he was 19.
Yeah, he's not going to do it. There's nobody else. There's nobody
else. Then you
else.
Have Cano, and then there's Edwin Encarnacion.
Yeah, who's 37.
At 1261, exactly.
And they're all 1,000 RBIs behind him.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go all the way down to find the next guy that isn't in his mid-30s, I mean, you're drifting all the way down to Freddie Freeman's got 858. He's 30 years old.
Guy's not doing it.
I mean, you know what I mean? To put it in perspective, that's the nearest guy that you say, all right, is still rolling, and he's 30. Mike Trout is 798. He's 28.
Yeah, it's just not happening. It's just if Albert Pujols doesn't do it, and really, I give Pujols there's a 50-50 chance because if he knocks in 90 runs this year, okay, then he knocks in 90 runs, but now you're talking about 90 RBIs when you're 42 years old, and then you're coming back for a season at 43. So I'd give him a 50-50 chance at breaking it, but if he doesn't do it, I mean, really, it's going to be another two, just because you never know. There could be somebody showing up. You know, look, the Mets could have somebody in a couple of years come up and suddenly, hey, you know, he knocks in 23.
Well, whoever
runs.
The next guy is hasn't started his major league career yet.
Right, exactly. And you're going to need 25 years to do it. So that's why I say he's going to hold that record for another 25 years. That's how impressive that is. To think about that for a second, that we all thought the home run record was unbreakable. And now clearly, well, apparently the RBI record is a little bit more unbreakable because that record stood for a little bit longer. And really, there's only one guy to do it. Not that I think someone's going to hit 763 again and pass Barry Bonds, but clearly we saw it already. You know, we saw somebody pass Hank Aaron. We have not seen somebody pass Hank Aaron yet in RBIs. 2,297 RBIs. You think about 3,000 hits being a big deal. He had 2,300 RBIs.
Telling you, man, 3,000 hits and 300 career pitching wins. Those are dinosaurs, man. Those are dinosaurs now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers, get a quote today. So last hour we picked the NFC Championship game. Now it is time for us to pick the AFC title game. The Chiefs are getting Patrick Mahomes back. He has cleared protocol, as Jay Glazer told us earlier in the show. Great stuff from Jay. He never had a concussion. He got choked out. And, you know, it happens in Unbreakable in the gym all the time. And they actually practice guys getting choked out, so
you know what it
feels like. And that's what it was for Patrick Mahomes. And we get the clean bill of health today. He still had to go through the protocol, but he did. And he is cleared, and he is going to play on Sunday. But, man, I just can't stop thinking about Jay telling us that, yeah, when guys come to train in MMA at Unbreakable, we choke them out so they know what it feels like, so they know where their a level of threshold of pain and what's going on. Is. All right, now you're going to learn how to get choked out. Oh, really? Yeah, it's a very important lesson. We're going to do it right now.
It's really important because to find that out, because I was thinking about joining up. Probably not for me. Getting choked out idea.
That's very difficult. Yeah. No. Wait, I have to get choked out? Yeah, no, I'm going to pass that.
I'm all for combat sports and trying my hand at the physicality. You know, saying goodnight, I draw the line. I've come too close with the Reaper in my life. I ain't inviting him in on the off chance that someone squeezes just a little bit too much because of something I said on the radio. No thanks.
So Buffalo and Kansas City. Mahomes is playing, and the Chiefs are going to win. It will be very similar to the Cleveland game last week where Kansas City gets out fast and Buffalo gets hit between the eyes a little bit. They'll keep it close because they'll settle down because the Bills are a really good team, but Mahomes is going to be enough. They get out to that lead, the Bills will make it close, and Mahomes will do what he always does. Hey, boy, the Chiefs need a 75-yard touchdown drive here. Mahomes is going to do that. That's how it's going to go in the second half. The Bills will get close, Mahomes will get a score, the Bills will make it close, Mahomes will get a score, and I guarantee you there are some surprises for Josh Allen, because it's all fun and games, but now here are the Bills in the AFC Championship game. They've had a week to think about it to get ready for the Super Bowl. I would be stunned if Kansas City didn't have a couple of wrinkles left that slowed down Josh Allen. They'll have a couple of big stands, maybe one big stand that's a crusher for Buffalo. Kansas City wins it 31-26.
Oh, look at you calling for them to beat the number. It is 3.5. I love that hook. I'm going the other way. I'm taking Bills Mafia. Josh Allen may not win the MVP, but he's going to go play for the ship. The chip in the ship.
It's not a thing.
Down in Tampa.
Not a thing.
No, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. And they're going to surprise you because they might actually run the ball, which is something they didn't do last week.
But it's not a ship. It's not a ship.
You just want to keep going back. You're not going to let me even have that for a moment.
No, it's not. It's not a ship. I felt like you were pausing because you wanted me to comment. Did you know there's no such thing as a ship?
No, okay. I had to because
you just protest
so much that I have to let it out. Look, I'm going to look for Gabriel Davis. I'm going to look for the youngsters to make some plays downfield. Allen making a couple of plays with his leg. The fact that the Chiefs have been inefficient in the red zone. We've talked about it a lot, both on the offensive side, defensively. They've been gettable as well. And Patrick Mahomes, the toe injury, foot, that's more concerning to me. And we said that at the start of the week. And as we get ready for the weekend to begin, that is still the number one issue here. Right, in protocol, going through practices or whatever else. But you mentioned Jay Glazer's report that he talked extensively with us earlier to clarify. It's the foot. Like, if he can't get out and run, right? Not that he runs a ton, but occasionally to pick up a first, but more so just to slide in the pocket so smoothly to buy those speed receivers some time downfield. I think that comes back to bite them. And I think the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott advance, succeed, and proceed. And more people will have that really cool Buffalo wing tattoo that's in the shape of the Bills logo. It's going to be brilliant.
I do say I like that tattoo that I've seen with the piece of celery being the line and then the buffalo wing being shaped like the Bill. I do like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's the type of tattoo I could see you getting if you lost a bet.
Ooh, have a Bills tattoo the rest of my life?
Yeah, but think of all the free wings you'd get if you go to Buffalo. Like, you go back to visit Syracuse, all of upstate New York, you'll eat for free. But they'll make you eat the celery. I'll make you eat the celery the next time we're in studio together, because we got to get something in you.
Hey, I eat celery. Look, I've been eating carrots tonight.
Get a couple of carrots. That's good.
In addition to my quesadilla,
I have a 17-pound brisket in my fridge ready to cook this weekend. So, you know, I'm not that far off.
So there we are on opposite sides of the AFC title game. I got the Chiefs. Mike has the Bills. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We got more NFL on the way, but straight ahead. I hate to say we told you so about the biggest story in the NBA, but we kind of told you so. This is Fox.